kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'm going to talk today about the life of Jesus because he's our model. He's the one that we follow, we look to. And I've got a title today for this. It's Jesus' life and walk wasn't complicated. Jesus' life and walk wasn't complicated. I suppose over the years, as God deals with us and delivers us and teaches us, do we realize that the simplicity of this walk? And that is why there is so much deliverance, particularly with what we teach the deeper life. Because the deeper life, which is discipleship, the way of the cross, is actually to make our lives uncomplicated. A lot of our deliverance is being cut free from the things of this world. I'm reminded of that vision that God gave FGA years back of a puppet with strings attached to the hands, the feet and the back and the head and so on, like puppets are. And we saw then a pair of scissors beginning to cut each string away until finally the last string was to be cut. And it was like a reaction from that. Well, if that last cord string is to be cut away, the whole thing will just collapse to the floor. And the wonderful thing about that vision was that when the last string was cut, suddenly this puppet, instead of falling in a heap to the ground, rose up in freedom and worshipped and praised God. And that is what the Spirit is doing with you and I. And we fight against it at times. And why do we fight? Because it's our fear, our unbelief, our what if. Well, these are just some of the things I want to address today in this title, Jesus' Life and Walk Wasn't Complicated. And I want to start first with something familiar, just to remind ourselves, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We know this very well, but here we learn something in Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when you get such statements like this, it is saying that this is what was in Christ's mind, his heart, his spirit. And he says, you have also the same mind as well, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. We know this, of course, very well in our teachings over the years, that Jesus left heaven, all the glory and majesty and dominion of heaven, and take on the form of a man. Doesn't say a special type of man, to take on a diplomat or a very wealthy person, no, just a man, and to serve and to humble himself. And he allowed the Spirit to empty himself of all the glory that he knew and experienced, and took on the likeness of a man in which to serve. And of course, we know his coming into the world, born in a stable, two very simple, uncomplicated parents. We see his journey. We get glimpses of his upbringing. Trained as a carpenter, he had brothers and sisters also. And we're also told in Hebrews that he had to go through trials and testings in which to learn, the same as us, in which to come to that place at the appointed time of the Father, in which the Spirit of God, the power of God, fell upon him and appointed him to go forth. I stress that because that is not a complicated life. He was not sent to a university. He wasn't educated by man or by governments or whatever it is. God in many ways had him protected. In fact, we get a glimpse, an idea of, just like the man-child that is being preserved in the woman, her womb, in many ways Christ came the same. He was Mary conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Again, a type of what we are seeing again in these last days. God's hand was upon him. He was anointed, called for that ministry, exactly the same with us. And we can begin to see now, with the deeper life teaching, why God deals with us and works with us in the manner that he does. You see, Jesus knew he was set apart for this calling. And you have to know, brothers and sisters, you are set apart for a calling on your life. I think we still don't quite understand this. We somehow just see it as the pastor has this. He doesn't. He is the least. He is the one that simply serves. The apostle revealed he was the least of the apostles. When we are called into the deeper life and God begins to open our eyes to these great truths and revelations that have been written thousands of years, that has cost some of our brethren their lives in which to share this revelation as the Holy Spirit moved upon them, we don't take this lightly. Jesus was set apart for ministry, and you are set apart for ministry. And if you don't see much of it yet, it is coming, to what you are being prepared for. I say it often and I will say it again. You are destined for the throne. Read Revelation 4. Read what is around the throne. The overcomers are there. The overcomer knows this divine call upon their life, because flesh and blood does not reveal this. This is why I so often rejoice in the remnant that faithfully comes week after week, because I say to my Heavenly Father, Lord, you have revealed this to them as babes. They didn't receive this in their own intellect or education or understanding. It was divinely given. This is why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And this is why it is awesome what God has placed upon us. And he wants to address today that our lives are not to be complicated, messed up, like so much of the world is today. And this is why we see so much mental oppression. And a servant's life isn't to be complicated. Why, even in the natural, if you were to employ someone to come and work for you, or to be a housekeeper, or whatever it is, you aren't going to employ them for too long if their lives are so complicated, they have so much baggage about them, they're not very reliable, they can't always make that day because they've got to be called out to something else. You wouldn't employ them, would you? And yet we do exactly the same with God. And yet look how merciful and long-suffering he is towards us. Like that puppet, he is cutting each string away. Because you see, a puppet is manipulated by the spirit of this age. A puppet, you see, when the string is pulled, your hand moves or your feet move in accordance, whether you want to move or not. You don't have any choice. You are forced into those movements. Can you see now why God showed this vision? And when he cuts us free, as the word of God says, you are free indeed. And it's the word of God that sets us free. That is the true freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It is deception in this world. We are driven, we are controlled, we are brainwashed. By whom? The God of this world, Satan. You know, as you look at in the scriptures, when Jesus called the disciples, it says they left all and they followed him. What is that indicating? They left those things that would get in the way of their walking with Jesus. In other words, Jesus made their lives simple. He takes the baggage away. And this is why, of course, in the world, we sadly don't want to get too involved with people. And you know why? Because so many have so much baggage. And that baggage is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And this is why we're seeing symptoms like we are. People having breakdowns now, mental issues, can't cope anymore, on drugs, bipolar, and I could just name it. The drugs that we have today is completely mind-boggling. And it's not rocket science to find out. And that's why Jesus' life, his upbringing, was simple. Born of a lowly family. Trained as a carpenter. He was often amongst the poor, the destitute, the beggars. Those around him, that was his environment that he was brought up in. No wonder the apostle addresses to the Corinthians in chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians, where he reveals very clearly God doesn't call many of the mighty, the proud, the intellectuals, those that boast in their education. Not many of those are called. Why? Because their lives are too complicated. It's not to say that God can't do that, and he does. But generally, the call is going out to the highways and to the byways, because so many are rejecting the call of salvation. The same as Israel rejected her Messiah. You see, these simple statements in God's word are always challenging, even confusing, because we aren't simple. Why aren't we simple? Because life won't let us be simple. And they're called the pressures in this world. And that is why God separates us, sanctifies us unto himself. Not only just because he's holy, but also to complicate your life and my life. To begin to set us free. Where? In the mind, in the thinking that has fouled all of this up. Because life won't let us be simple. Sin has messed with man's mind, his relationships. This is why relationships, sadly, today now, are so toxic, complicated. Marriage has become so complicated. Bringing up children has become so complicated, and it's all meddled with. And controlled. It's the spirit of this age. And life says you have to be educated. You have to study. They like you to go to university. You've got to have your jobs, your careers. All of it precious, complicated. Marriages are complicated today. Family life has become complicated when it's to be such a blessing. It's God ordained. How busy the devil has been. Well, let's listen to the Bible's simple statements that are setting us free. Hallelujah. Let's turn to something you know so well in Matthew 6 and verse 25 onwards. Matthew 6 and verse 25. And here it's all about anxiety, worry, all of these things that the world tries to put on us because of what sin has done. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Listen to these words. You can almost feel, experience the deliverance as you read this, unfettering your life. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Well, that's what he says about worry, anxiety. Utterly futile. And why do we do it? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow. And let's go on with it. Yeah. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Actually, that clothing isn't just clothing, what we wear, it's a clothing also of provision, of body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, he said, let the world worry. Let them worry around you. It's going to continue, but you are delivered from that. Don't take it on. Don't be infected by people's worry and fears and anxieties, because we can take it on. How do we take it on? Well, we only have to talk with them. They're all around us. They're in our family. It can be in your marriage. The fear coming out, the unbelief coming out, the anxiety coming out. And the next thing is, you know, you're taking it on board. It's so infectious. And then it begins to complicate, and then you're battling it in the mind and so forth. Yeah, we can listen, but I suggest to you it goes in one ear and out the other, because we know what we do when we hear this fear and anxiety and what's going on with people's lives. We get into prayer, we pray for them, and we leave it there with God to deal with it. But no, we take it on board as though we're God and we're going to deal with it for them. We can't. That's really what he's saying here about fear and anxiety and everything. They're the number one demonic forces that the powers of darkness work within society today. Trust me. Because we've all had deliverance from this, or we are being delivered from this. Every one of us can identify with this, because it's what the world has done to us. It's what it's done to our parents and their parents and generations. Nothing changes. They are the devilish works of Satan and his angels that buffet the mind of man, that blind man's eyes from the love and grace and mercy of God. And we don't keep it simple, because we're always asking why or when. A simple person doesn't ask why. It's not in their vocabulary. It's not in their thinking, because they trust Almighty God and his word. And they have allowed the Spirit to deal, to deliver from these anxieties. And that is why you're going through the trials and tests that you are. I am. I've just been going through one recently. And up it started to come, this fear, this anxiety. And you know when it's there, because you're trying to work it out. What to do, what to say, how to get your own back, or whatever it would be. And all these arguments and things that are going on in the mind, mulling around. Until you come to a place you realize, hey, I'm not listening to this. The blood of Jesus over my mind. I cast this down. God will avenge. God will deal with it. God has a way that I'll never work out anyway. And he does. And then you find your mind starts to become simple again. Focus back on the Lord. And then you feel that anxiety and that fear. And you know how it comes out. The heart starts beating faster. You start to breathe heavier. And you're respiratory. And you become agitated. You no longer have a smile on your face. They're all the symptoms of it. And you've got them all around you, out in the world there, heavy laden, burdened down. And suddenly you come to, and there you realize the power in the blood of Jesus when you come against all of this stuff. And why? Because often you've opened the door, you're asking questions, you're wanting to know and everything, instead of just that simple childlike faith. Heavenly Father, I don't understand this and I don't want to know. All I want to know is that I stand right with you and that you will bring me through. You will vindicate my name. You will come against the powers of darkness that stand against me. That's all he wants. Why? To keep you simple before him. Not complicated. Not you trying to do it. We yield to these truths that he presents to us. This is why I'm always talking so much about yielding, which the cross will do in our lives. If God says it, that's it. I don't know how it's going to be done, how or when, but he said it. It's in his word. These verses are to deal with this worry and anxiety, to maintain a simple relationship with him and each other. Because true koinonia fellowship can only come with simple childlike faith. Our fellowship with one another can't flourish if we're complicated, bound up. This is why you don't find much unity and oneness in churches. Because so many Christians are full of anxiety and fear and unbelief and running to the arm of the flesh all the time. And there are times, isn't it, you know, when you can almost feel yourself becoming resentful when people don't sympathize with you. Well, don't they understand what I'm going through? Look what's happening to me. It doesn't seem anyone in the body understands me. Oh, I've been through that. And I know some of you have been through it. But why? Because God is setting you free from this complication, this stuff that still goes on in the mind. Of course we are to support and encourage one another. But at the end of the day, God is the only one who knows what you're going through or what I'm going through. Even though we stand and we bear with one another, it's impossible to get a brother or sister to know exactly what I'm going through. How can they? Because the trial is tailor-made for you, not for them. But we stand, we encourage, we pray for one another, we go that extra mile if required. Of course we do. But what God is dealing with you and me is right. And very often, you know, we say, don't we, to remove unbelief. But do you know, most of our unbelief is held still by fear and worry and anxiety. The enemy knows those things to attack our faith. And we have to wake up to this and not play his game. Not allow it to happen, because all the while I hold this anxiety, this fear, he's got me. I'm playing his game. And there comes a point when you rise up and say, enough is enough. I'm no longer going to be held and fettered by this. When I read such things like Matthew 6 and so on, and we're going to read a bit more in a minute. You've only got to read it, just read it, and you feel the power of God setting you free by that word. There are times when we think we know better than Jesus, but trust me, you don't. We allow the cares of this world to enter and we get drawn in. And that's why when you feel you're being drawn in by the cares of this world, you've got two legs, walk away. Doesn't matter what they think or what they say, walk away. I've had to do it when I'm starting to get drawn in. And why do we get drawn in? And I'll repeat this again because I've said this before. In the natural, as Christians, we are vulnerable because people out there see something different about us. Thank God for that. But there are people out there who also take advantage of it. And so they want our time. They know that we will listen. They know we are reliable. They know that we won't come back with hurtful things. That is very attractive to a hurting, dying people out there. And if I wasn't saved and I didn't know the Lord, I'd be doing exactly the same. In fact, before I was saved, I was attracted to Christians, to church people. I knew there was something about them. I knew there was a kindness. I could see a love there in some of them. It's very attractive. But we have to be on our guard. The Lord had this. The Lord had a huge following at times. And we can see the compassion and mercy he had on them by feeding them supernaturally. But he also knew how to withdraw from them and even from the disciples. Because he had to focus back on his heavenly Father. And we have to do the same. We have to know how far to go in these situations. Because it will begin to draw, it begins to sap from you. And as I've said so often, we're like batteries. We have to be topped up, recharged. You can't keep giving out all the time. You have to withdraw. And that's why, of course, we have the teaching of where we go into our closet. We have that quality time with God each day for this very thing. We're still human beings in flesh, the weakness of the flesh. And God knows that. He knows exactly how much we can take. That's why we have these wonderful promises that he will not permit or allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to endure. But if we find that way of escape, in other words, he, although he takes us through it, we don't avoid it, but he knows how much to allow. And he will always say to the powers of darkness, enough, no more, because he is sovereign, he is in control. Let's look at Matthew 13. I marvel at all of this, you know, brothers and sisters, because as I started to prepare this, my mind, my logic was saying to me, Lord, I have preached this so many times. I've lost count how many times I've preached on these scriptures and so forth. And it's like the Lord says, get your mind out of it. Just yield and do what I reveal and show. And lo and behold, as we're preaching and teaching this, does not new things come out? It's still that fresh manna from above. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Well, no, actually, I'm going to go from 18, because this is the parable of the sower, and I make no apology about repeating myself here. He says in Matthew 13, verse 18 onwards, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." So we all have to be careful with that. And I've already been alluding to that, because he says we don't understand. We don't understand anything, brothers and sisters, unless God reveals it. That is the only way you are going to understand. So don't fight it. Don't get fearful. You have the Holy Spirit, the unction, the anointing, who has come to teach you. So that first verse then in verse 19, what is said there, "I do or I will understand in Jesus' name." And rest. Don't make it complicated. And it goes on, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy." Well, we've all done that. But praise God, he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Well, praise God. They may reject. They may reject the word. You may get persecuted for the word. Yes, I know all about that. I'm getting all of that on Instagram. Hasn't take long until they're starting to attack. But praise God, you stay with it. You don't run away. And then it goes on. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." And that's why God separates us. This is what I was saying earlier. Here is the separation from all what the world does. The riches, the world, it chokes the word and becomes unfruitful. Exactly what we're talking about today. And that's why God sets deliverance in us, to make our life, our faith, simple, childlike. "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60 and 30. You will understand. The Spirit will teach you. If there are things still at the moment shelved, leave it there until the Lord reveals at the right time. Because remember this, God will only help give us understanding when we are at the right place and the right time. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So you have no fear in that. That is the love of God who is teaching us. And if I don't understand, there are still things in Scripture I don't understand, but I don't react. I simply leave it with God. I'm not going to let it complicate me. I'm going to stay with the simplicity of trusting my Heavenly Father, because I know nothing unless it's divinely revealed. Yes, and the right timing as well. God has got it under control. Our Heavenly Father, he loves us. He's jealous over us with that love. And this is why we have to be on our guard. We have to listen to what the Lord is doing. Because the enemy doesn't like these teachings. He doesn't like God delivering us and setting us free, because it exposes him. That's why. We spoke about back in Matthew 6 and everything, where the Lord speaks about the birds of the air, how the Lord provides for them. They don't get all upset and anxious. Animals don't. Why? Because they obey their instinct. It's what God has put in them, where God places them, where their environment is around the world. It only goes wrong when man meddles with nature. I'm reminded of the grey squirrel that was brought into this country from Canada. And what did it do? It nearly killed all the red squirrels, which are the natural environment for this country. So you see what man does when he meddles. That's not the nature for the grey squirrel. Its nature is to be elsewhere. But animals will survive and live by the instinct they have within them that is God-given. And yet when it comes to man, we're completely lost. But of course, you see, we're in the image of God, and that is the difference. And that, of course, is where the devil has attacked. Plants grow where they're planted, generally. Or a good husbandry, a gardener, learns what grows best in certain soils. But whatever plants grow in their environment, they'll grow quite happily. Because it's how God planted it. This is why, you see, many can't settle on the word of God. And why they go from pillar to post, from ministry to church or whatever. There's so many in Christendom can't settle on God's word and let the word do its work in our life and heart. It's what we've been made new again, a new creation in Christ. We're planted in him now. He's the rock that we stand upon. And let him build his life in and through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're rooted in Jesus Christ. He's placed us in him and fellowship with each other in him. That is not complicated. It's when there's a lack of love, it becomes complicated. And that's why we yield to the Spirit. We don't fight him. We don't resist him. We simply let him do the work through us. Like the wind that blows wherever it wills. Like water that flows, and it's going to flow into every crook and cranny and so forth. And it's exactly the same with us. And that is why, as I close, he's cutting those strings away where the enemy's had control, hold over us. And the last cord to be cut will be our freedom. And when that last cord is cut, the Lord will say, come up. Hallelujah.
Jesus.